Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Godawari Power and Ispat Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call, hosted by Monarch Networth Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Shruti. Good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome you on behalf of Godawari Power and Ispat Limited. Please note that today's discussion may include certain forward-looking statements and therefore must be viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. Today we are joined by Mr. Abhishek Agrawal, Executive Director, Mr. Dinesh Gandhi, Executive Director, and Mr. Sanjay Bothra, Chief Financial Officer. And may I now please invite the management to present on the company's business outlook and performance, after which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to the management, please.
Okay, thank you, Sahil. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's call. Our financial results and earnings presentation have been uploaded to the stock exchanges and our website. I trust you have had an opportunity to review them. I will briefly walk you through the key highlights of the results and progress on various projects, following which we will open the floor for Q&A. GPIL has made a steady start to FY27, delivering resilient performance in Q1 FY27, supported by healthy revenue growth, improved sales realization, stronger realization across key product segments. Sequentially, profitability was impacted by higher input costs driven by increased iron ore sourcing from the market and elevated coal prices following West Asia crisis. These pressures are expected to ease upon commissioning of beneficiation plants, enabling higher captive mining, improved raw material availability, and enhanced cost efficiencies. Coming to the operational performance, our iron ore mining volume declined primarily due to space constraints for dumping of overburden in view of delaying obtaining T-cutting permission in the additional allotted land. This resulted in higher market procurement of iron ore for pellet production, leading to elevated input costs. Despite this, production grew YOY across product categories except iron ore mining and galvanized products. On QOQ basis, production remained subdued across most segments, with sponge iron and wire ferroalloys being key exceptions. We remain on track to deliver our FY27 guidance, with Q1 volume achieving between 16%-29% of full-year guidance. Our evaluated product also recorded healthy YOY growth in Q1, led by sponge iron, billet, and rolled production. This is further supported by improved realization of most of the product, both on YOY and quarter-on-quarter basis, contributing to healthy revenue growth during the quarter. Talking about the consolidated financial performance, Q1 FY27 revenue recorded both YOY and sequential growth, supported by healthy sales volume and improved realization. EBITDA and PAT remained broadly stable YOY, although profitability softened sequentially due to elevated input costs, primarily on account of higher procurement of iron ore from market and coal prices. EBITDA and PAT margin stood at 19.1% and 12.7% respectively. We expect margin improvement from Q4 FY27 following commissioning of beneficiation plant, enabling greater utilization of captive iron ore pellets. Now, coming on our key growth projects, the Ari Dongri iron ore mine expansion is progressing as planned, with ramp-up expected from Q3 following commissioning of beneficiation plant and full-scale operation targeted from FY28. The beneficiation plant will strengthen the captive mine iron ore security and improve ore quality for pellet production. CapEx of 218 crore incurred in the beneficiation plant till June 2026. The 4.7 million ton expanded pellet capacity operated at 77% utilization in Q1 and is expected to ramp up to around 80%-85% in FY27 as the operations scale up. As regards our integrated steel plant and CRM projects, the company has decided to keep the proposed 1 million ton integrated steel project in abeyance due to on-ground challenges and delays in approval, especially the approval for water allocation, which resulting in delay in final EC and consequently the consent to set up the pellet plant, consent to set up the integrated steel plant. Consequently, in order to leverage the benefit of state incentives and subsidies, synergies from proximity of base plant, the 0.7 million ton CRM complex is supposed to be relocated to Maharashtra near Sambhajinagar. The identification land for the proposed CRM project has been completed and application for allotment of land has been submitted to Government of Maharashtra. We expect the land allotment approval by end of August 26. The project construction activities are expected to start from October 2026. The project is now targeted to be commissioned by December 27 with plant capex of 1100 crore to be funded through 550 crore of debt and balance through internal accruals. The 20 gigawatt base project is progressing well and is scheduled for commissioning in Q1 28. Soil testing has been completed. Construction of the compound wall is underway. Key supply agreements for major equipment and raw material have been finalized, including long-term sale procurement, keeping the project execution on track. The project is also supported by incentives from the Government of Maharashtra. We have already incurred a capex of 501 crore till date in the project. As regards the expansion of solar projects, capacity from 165 to 290 megawatt, the Aranor mines and additional 2 million ton pellet plant for captive use. The 25 megawatt solar plant has been commissioned in May 2026. And 100 megawatt project is under construction, targeted for commissioning by September 26. The proposed 250 megawatt solar project has been kept in abeyance due to relocation of CRM project to Maharashtra, in which the solar power was proposed to be consumed, and also the delay in land allotment for the solar project. The 45 megawatt base project for storage of captive solar power plants under implementation and targeted for commissioning by Q3 27. Targeted for commissioning by Q3 26, not 27. Sorry. Upon completion of plant project, the captive solar power capacity will reach to 290 megawatt and solar storage capacity will reach to 45 megawatt. The CRISIL has reaffirmed the credit rating of the company at AA- stable for long-term facilities. I'm also pleased to mention that GPIL has been recognized among India's 500 most valuable companies in 2025 Burgundy Private Harun India List 500 list, reflecting growing scale, strong business fundamental and sustained value creation. On ESG front, the company has completed initiative under Energy Efficiency and Decarbonization Program. The 6.9 megawatt WRHB plant has commenced commercial production, taking total WRHB capacity to 49 megawatt. GPIL is also advancing its decarbonization efforts through 5 TPD carbon capture utilization project in collaboration with IIT Mumbai, for which civil work is underway and completion targeted by end of FY27. The company has demonstrated offers a strong focus on reducing carbon intensity, with CO2 emission per ton of steel tracked under 2 internationally recognized framework, Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism, CABM, calculation independently assessed by SGS and World Steel Association, ISO 14064 standard. Under CABM technology, based on the total carbon basis, emission intensity stood at 3.180 CO2 ton in Q1 FY27, improving 1.9% quarter on quarter and 4.2% YOY from 3.244 ton fixed carbon. Under the World Steel Association methodology based on fixed carbon basis emission intensity stood at 2.485 ton CO2 per ton of steel production in Q1 FY27, remaining broadly stable quarter on quarter and YOY as against target of 2.4920 fixed by Government of India. Overall, Q1 FY27 reflects improved carbon efficiency under CABM framework, while WSA-based emissions remained stable. As a part of its EVA transition towards greener operations, CPL has added 5 new dumpers during the quarter, taking fleet to 15 EV dumpers, 24 EV loaders, and 15 EV excavators. The adoption of electric transportation has reduced operating cost by nearly 75%, CO2 emission by around 88% compared to the conventional diesel vehicle. Now coming on the market outlook, India's iron ore production is expected to rise to 8% to 340 to 345 metric tons during FY27, with most incremental supply coming from captive mines, while pellet production stood at provisionally 120 million tons in FY26, up from 109 million metric tons in FY25, led by Odisha and Maharashtra. The demand remains supportive, driven by rising steel production, higher pellet usage, which shift towards higher grade DR grade pellets. However, industry utilization remained constant at 65% due to weak exports, limited hydro availability, and margin pressure. Globally, iron ore prices remained resilient, close to about 95 to 105 tons, supported by healthy mill margin and inventory restocking despite peaking Chinese steel consumption. While additional low-cost supply from Guinea's Simandou project presents downside risk, initially iron ore prices broadly remain stable, closer to about 5,500 range at mines, while pellet prices are in the range of 9,000 to 11,000 per ton, with current levels at around 10,000 rupees a ton. Meanwhile, India's steel demand outlook remains strong, supported by infrastructure, housing, railway, and manufacturing investments. In conclusion, I would like to mention that backed by strong captive mining assets, strong balance sheet, ongoing capacity expansion, and focus on ESG and cost optimization, GPL remains well positioned to drive sustainable long-term value creation. With clear roadmap and strong execution focus, company remains confident of achieving its Vision 2030 targets of 4x increase in revenue, 3x growth in EBITDA and PAT. We remain committed to delivering on our growth ambition and create value for all stakeholders. With this, I would like to conclude my opening remarks and open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, moderator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Manav Gogia from Yes Securities Limited. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. A very good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. So my first question comes, around the steel plant that now is getting delayed again. So just wanted to get your sense of if, you could help me in understanding, are there any specific milestones or conditions that need to be satisfied before, the board revised this project? And also now, going ahead, should we continue to build the steel plant into the company's medium-term expectations, or should now we view it as an optional growth project rather than a, committed CAPEX plan?
Good morning. On the first question, the milestone which we expect was the water allocation. So earlier we were given a LOI by the state government for the water allocation. But once we got back to them for the confirmation letter, So then there were challenges, and because of which the entire water allotment of 9.4 something MCM has been delayed. It's been almost been 6-8 months now. So that is the reason the project has been kept on hold. And from an investor's angle, I think you should keep the seed plant as an optional now for the medium-term growth.
Okay, so we are keeping it as an optional.
Till the time we don't get the water approval and all, so we really don't know what that's going to happen. So better to keep it as an option now. The seed plant.
Okay. That is quite clear. But just to follow up on the same, because your slide on the Vision 2030, the numbers over there for revenue and EBITDA, I believe that still includes any commitments coming in from the steel plant. So how should that
that doesn't include. It's mainly on the CRM complex, which will get commissioned in Q3 of FY27, which is December 27, and the battery storage project, which is well on track. So we have revised the guidance. If you see our earlier presentation, it was 4x and the EBITDA level, but now we have removed the steel part from that entire investor presentation. Yes, we have.
Okay. No, that is quite helpful. So second question comes on just pertaining to these challenges that we are seeing out for the steel plant. This doesn't have any impact on the rest of the projects, like the BESS or the CRM mill, because now the CRM is now shifting towards Maharashtra.
See, because CRM was coming on the same land as the steel plant, and we're not getting the desired approval for the water allotment. So that is the reason we have decided to take this step and move CRM complex to Maharashtra. Maharashtra, again, we have opted for Auric industrial belt, where it's a plug-and-play model, just like the battery storage. Land allotment will happen by end of this month. And as Gandhi said, we should commence the activities on ground by October. So CRM, there is a delay of almost 6 months, but CRM will be on track. And please consider steel plant as in whole as of now, for medium term.
Okay, understood. A follow-up on the CRM, we are now moving closer to our BESS facilities, right? So what benefits will take place either for the CRM complex or for BESS in terms of cost? I mean, from moving the product from Chhattisgarh to Maharashtra or just now moving the plant directly over there?
See, on the battery storage side, it was always planned in Maharashtra only. So there are no changes in the battery storage project from day one. On the CRM side, the additional advantage, what we envisage is, the local consumption of the valued steel, which we're going to be producing. So Maharashtra being an automobile hub, right? And a lot of our products will be consumed in automobile. So we expect, a demand growth local in Maharashtra, which will add to the benefit of CRM. For raw material, there is a lot of supplies like JSW, Zen, Dolby. Then there is ArcelorMittal in Gujarat. So we don't see a challenge in procurement of HR coil. On the consumption side, Maharashtra is a big state for the consumption. And that is why the industrial policy of Maharashtra government is giving us those benefits in terms of, SGS chain and other things. So we feel shifting CRM is actually a boon to us by shifting to Maharashtra rather than Chhattisgarh.
Understood. My next question, comes on the Aridongri mining side. So we faced some challenges this particular quarter, in terms of the production from the mining. So is it expected to continue for Q2 as well? And Q3 or? Okay.
No. So I'll tell you, so the mines had basically two lands. One was the private land where we've already started dumping. All the formalities are over and we have started drilling the land for dumping. On the government land, last year's approvals are pending, basis which we will be allowed to enter the land and do the tree cutting and all. So that should happen in Q2. From Q3 onwards, we expect the mining production to ramp up and eventually achieve full capacity from Q4 or earlier Q1 next financial year. So Q2, you can expect the same numbers in terms of mining production.
Understood. So we'll continue to have a higher procurement from the merchant miners.
In Q2, if you realize, we have already informed the investors last month only that we have shut down one of our new 2 million plant because of iron ore availability from the market as well as the cash pricing. So Q2 will be dull in terms of pellet production and mining numbers. Q3 onwards, we expect to run the pellet capacity at full production and mining ramp-up will happen from Q4 and eventually full capacity from Q1 of FY 2028.
Oh, understood. Understood. That is quite helpful.
Yes.
So just one-
Yes.
Follow-up more. Now, the beneficiation plant is coming in from Q3, right? And,
Yes.
Can you just help me in understanding, you know, how should we look at the quarterly trajectory of the captive ore availability? Because you're saying Q4 is where we ramp up to full mining production activities, right? And post the pellet, sorry, post the beneficiation plant coming in and the iron ore mine production ramping up, what sort are we going to completely eliminate the merchant iron ore procurement? That would be the right way to look at it?
See, so, Q3, you can say we'll still... So we'll be running at my pellet plant at full capacity. The purchase of market will be still about 25%-30%, and from Q4, gradually, it should come down below 10%, and finally, in FY 2028, it should be 100% captive. That is the target.
Okay. Understood. That is-
Yes.
Helpful. Sure, sure. I have more. I'll join back to queue for more, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants who wish to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Aman Kothari from Aequitas Investments. Please proceed.
Yeah. Firstly, thanks for the opportunity. So the first question was just a follow-up on the previous one, that the 3 million guidance that was given for iron ore, that is after including for beneficiation?
See, so basically, beneficiation is more on the input side. The 3.4 million guidance given for the whole year for the mining production, which is basically a usable ore for pellet plant, that is still on track. That is very much on track. We're not revising our mining guidance for the full year. 3.4 million we have given for this year, and it is very much on track.
The rest would be the market purchase, additional 1.2-1.3 million?
Yes. Yeah. No, so in that case, what will happen is our pellet production will be on the lower side, we expect. So accordingly, our market purchase for the full year will be on the lower side, because we have already shut down another pellet plant last month, and I think-
Yeah.
It will continue to remain shut in this quarter. So accordingly, the purchase for market in terms of volume will be slightly on the lower side.
Got it. And sir, the reason for shutting down the pellet production, obviously, first was the iron ore, but how big is the gas supply issue for us? Is it expected to normalize post Q2?
See, no, so to be, I think there was a little misunderstanding. So we are able to secure the 100% gas from the supplier. But the issue is, as per the new guidelines of PNGRB, so the value, the purchase value of the gas has gone up drastically. It's almost up by 40%-45%. So purchasing iron ore from the market and also getting gas at a higher price, that makes pellet plant operation commercially unviable. And that was what we have stated in our statement last month. Commercially, in the current market scenario, where steel is down and pellet prices touch all-time low of about 87 rupees, in starting of July, it makes pellet plant commercially unviable to purchase from the market and use expensive gas.
Fair, fair, fair. Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Sir, the second question is on the iron ore pricing. So this year, we've seen iron ore come down to around $94. We further expect that the Simandou project should ramp up by the end of this year and further double down the next year. So how do you see the iron ore market pricing for the next one, 2 years?
See, I feel iron ore will keep hovering between $90-$100, because the Simandou project will take some time to ramp up. Plus, the demand in India is definitely growing for iron ore. If you see, a lot of port-based plants have started importing iron ore. So I feel iron ore should remain in the levels of between $90-$100, depending on the, you know, market to market. Yeah. We don't feel iron ore going down below $90 soon.
Okay, got it. And with the beneficiation we'll have, we'll be able to command a much better price in terms of quality.
See, beneficiation will mainly help us in reducing the mining cost, because right now I'm beneficiating the entire ore in factory complex by paying a transportation of 1,000 rupees. So by now beneficiating in the mines, my mining cost will go down of usable concentrate, which will feed to the pellet plant. So the idea is to reduce the mining cost and improve on the profitability. That is why putting up a beneficiation plant in the mines now.
Got it. Perfect. And just last question before I join back on the queue. Sir, do we do any sensitivity for iron ore pricing? Let's say if there's a 5-10% fall in iron ore prices, what could be the impact on our revenue or profitability for that matter?
If you ask me, right, 100 rupees down in iron ore pellet, we'll lose 40 crores in a year based on the 4 million production of iron ore pellets. So it's very simple. Iron ore cost still doesn't impact so much in terms of pellet prices. Pellet prices are mainly driven on, you know, the steel sentiment. For example, today if you see, the steel sentiments are slightly down. So that's why the pellet prices were below 9,000 rupees. But last couple of weeks, the market is revived almost by 10% in the domestic. So pellet prices are back to 10,000 levels in the domestic. So I would say pellet plays more important role in our cost economics rather than the iron ore fines prices.
Okay. And pellet prices, as you mentioned, are entirely driven by your steel economics and steel demand.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely, definitely.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll just join back again in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. To ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Yoganj from Mittal Analytics. Please proceed.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Abhishek, for the elaborate answers. Just one question on the three things that we are doing. So the pellet plant is already up and running, right? Like you said, you're not operating it, but it's up and running. And then we'll
yes,
be having,
yes.
Yeah, then we'll be having a beneficiation coming up and the mining scale up. So once all these three of our major actions come into force, say suppose end of FY27, so FY28 onwards, what kind of benefits do you see coming into our books? If you could quantify that broadly, like you touched upon that we'll save 1,000 rupees per ton in transportation with the beneficiation at mine. If you could just break it down in a little more granular form and just help us understand how much our EBITDA per ton can change with all these three things combined.
Just to give you a very brief breakup, you know, currently our mining cost stands about, you know, between 3,000 to 3,500 rupees, depending on the production. So our target is to bring down the mining cost below 2,700 rupees from FY28. So beneficiation is a part of it. The EV deployment in the mines is again a part of it. So the whole idea is to bring down the mining cost. So 100 rupees saving the iron ore, say, so gives us a, you know, a beat of 45, 50 crores on a 5, 6 million production of iron ore. So the idea is to bring down the mining cost, and that's why all these initiatives have been taken. So that is on the first side. Pellet production we expect to be at full capacity from FY28, which is about 4.5 million tons. So straight away, you know, with high volumes, that will give us a higher number of in terms of profitability. So these two are the major reasons for iron ore mining and the pellet.
Right. And sir, with the more iron ore mining that we can do, will this volume help us in generating some business, or we can't sell because of the feeling that we have of 40 million something on the pellets, 47 million, 47 lakh on the pellets, sorry.
Now see, we are allowed to sell as a captive miner as per new MMDR Act. We are allowed to sell 50% of our iron ore in the market at an additional royalty of 150%. But that is only possible if you are able to feed 100% your pellet plant. So in the longer term, we have no intention of selling iron ore in the market. We want to make 100% iron ore captive to the pellet plants. And going forward, maybe 2-3 years down the line, if we feel the opportunity there is there, if we are still able to, you know, have a surplus iron ore, then only we'll think of selling in the market. But at the moment, we have no plans of selling iron ore in the market. Rather, we'll preserve it and keep mines running longer.
Fair enough. So FY28, at least we don't have any plans to sell.
No.
And sir, if you could just help me understand what is the conversion rate from your beneficiated iron ore to your pellet?
It depends between 1500 to 1800 rupees on annual basis.
Sorry, your voice broke, sir. I couldn't hear.
It's between 1500 to 1800 rupees on annual basis. 1500 to 1800.
Okay. And sir, broadly, like you said, as of now, we're not looking to sell iron ore, but suppose we decide to sell in future, what kind of delta would you capture? Is it safe to assume that the delta that you capture in pellet is much more versus what you capture in iron ore, and hence we don't want to sell iron ore outside?
The first thing is if you want to sell iron ore, we have to pay 150% royalty on lumps and 250% royalty on fines. So straight away, 1,000 rupees of delta goes away if we intend to sell iron ore in the market. And the delta in pellet is almost 4 rupees. So commercially, it doesn't make sense to sell iron ore, in the near term. Unless pellet prices really, really crash to below 1,000 rupees, then probably, we can think of selling iron in the market. But I don't see that happening very soon.
Got it. And one last question from my answer. So in FY28, there will be very limited volume growth, right? Now the major growth will come in on our steel business once the CRM mill comes up, right? And other than that, the main driver for our EBITDA growth would be from the BESS once it comes online from Q1 FY28 onwards.
Right.
Perfect. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you and all the best to you and your team.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants who wish to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity, sir. This was more related to iron ore mine. You said that part of the land was private and part of the land was government. And in private land, the operation has started. So, first of all, in the government land, whatever the approval is pending, what nature of that approval and will that can delay the production for a longer time?
No, see, so the approval which is pending is the final approval from the state government for entry to the land and tree cutting, because it is a government land, it's a revenue land, and there was a plantation done. So there is a process we have to follow, which includes the forest department as well. So the file is in the application. We are very hopeful we should get the desired approvals by end of September. And this is that from October onwards, we will get the land to start dumping.
And thereafter, the key iron ore production can take some time.
So ramp up will happen, start happening from October onwards. But as I said, eventually the full ramp-up capacity will happen end of Q4 and early of Q1 next financial year.
Yeah, but on the private land, whether we can independently start producing iron ore or no, both have
see, to... We can start producing iron ore at 6 million capacity from today itself. Basically, we needed additional land for dumping of overburden. So on the private land, we have started dumping the overburden. That is where we are able to still produce the current capacity of iron ore. Once we get the government land, so the dumping capacity can improve and eventually the iron ore production will improve.
Okay. So basically, most...
Let me clarify. In fact, the land for dumping ground is separate from the land for mining. The mining area and dumping area is slightly different. This additional land which has been allotted is only for the dumping ground. So in that also, there are two land, one is private and another one is the government land. So tree cutting or for the dumping ground land is something which delays the mining operations.
Okay.
So I hope it is clear to you. For mining, my full land is available.
Available. Okay, fine. Okay. For dumping, you need area and they are the...
This land was especially for the purpose of dumping the overburden.
Okay. Fine. And but the point is like from the without that dumping, you can't increase the current iron
volume. I don't have the space to keep the overburden in the mining area.
True. And sir, second thing related to the project which we had shifted now to Maharashtra. Now, whether we will have a better profitability in base project or even in the cold roll mill capacity, possibility of higher margin because of that, or still you will go with your earlier guidance?
In terms of profitability, we don't see much change. The only positive side in Maharashtra is that the local consumption in Maharashtra is on very higher side. So for us, we already have a demand available, which will save us on the transportation cost on the finished product. So that is one advantage we will get in Maharashtra. Plus, the Maharashtra industrial policy incentive is also much better compared to Chhattisgarh. The incentives we will be getting yearly will add to the profitability of CRM complex. The storage from day one was in Maharashtra only, and that project remains on track. Nothing changes there.
So, this incentive will be able to improve the margin or no?
Yes, yes. So the incentives will improve the margin by another 2-3% for sure on the CRM complex side.
Okay. So earlier you were targeting somewhere at around 7-8%. So it can move up.
Yeah. So we should we should touch 10-11% with incentives.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that we just started. The next question is from the line of Tanuj from SKP Securities. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. Wanted to understand that there has been an increase in the iron ore production cost by approximate 10%. So wanted to understand the reasoning. Is it just with respect to the natural, like the fuel?
No. So the iron ore cost has gone up because of the higher purchase of iron ore from the market. No other reason.
Very mining cost.
Mining cost, okay. The mining cost, exactly, the mining cost again has gone up. It's mainly because of lower production in the mines. And the operating cost has gone up because of the lower production. Once we are able to achieve a desired capacity, the mining cost will automatically come down.
Okay, because in last 10 years, this is the highest mining cost.
Right? Yes, yes, yes. Because of the lower production on the mining side, that is the cost has gone up. Once we achieve the production, the mining cost will automatically come down. No other reason.
Okay. My second question is like...
Plus, as Mr. Gandhi mentioned, of course, there's also impact of the diesel, which is consumed in the mines for the operations. So that also has an impact on the mining operations.
Okay, got it. My next question is, I've seen a increase in the sales volume of the pellet. So in your peer group companies also, there has been a drastic increase in pellet production and sales. So is there any specific reason behind that?
No, so see, our new pellet plant was running at full capacity. In Q1, we were operating all the three plants. So that is why the additional production happened, and that is why the additional pellet sales happened. Because our captive consumption of pellets remains constant with our DRI capacity. So whatever additional pellets will be produced will be sold in the market. So that is why you see a substantial jump in Q1 for pellet sales.
Okay. And sir, can you give a view on your like demand? How is the demand on the pellet side?
See, the demand was quite lull end of June, early July. The prices had touched, COVID low of below 9,000 rupees. And that was the reason, we had to shut one of our plants because the operations were commercially unviable. But since the steel market has, revived in last 2-3 weeks, so pellet demand is better compared to probably, July. And the prices also, shot up by almost 10%.
Okay, got it. Now, sir, like we have moved our, we are not going ahead with our integrated steel plant. So is there any plans to use the internal pellet to make sponge or something like that? Like, how are we moving ahead if we are, like, we have cancelled our ISP plan? So what's the CapEx pipeline? Like, are we thinking in terms of something around sponge or anything like?
Or no, so firstly, we haven't canceled. We have kept the project on hold. Once we get the desired approvals, probably we'll have a rethink, what to do. On the consumption of pellet side, we have no plans of, expanding the DRI capacity. Because again, getting a new land, going for the EC, it's a long-run process. So we have no plans of increasing a DRI capacity. Whatever pellets will be produced will be sold in the merchant market. And there is actually a good demand of, high-grade pellets, be it the domestic market or be it the international market. We started exporting. We exported two ships in end of Q1 and early of Q2 before shutting a pellet plant. So we will keep selling pellets in the market in the longer term.
Okay. And sir, I was going through your past con calls. Like, there has been a tendency, like, with respect to all of our approvals, there is a lot of delays. So is there any specific reason or it is just the
No, I would say it's very unfortunate. There have been enormous delays at different stages when it comes to approvals from the state government. But that is something which is not in our hand. And hopefully, whatever pending approvals are still there, we should get it, as soon as possible. That's all I can say. It's very unfortunate, but it's really not in our hands, to be honest.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much, sir. That's it from my end.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vineet Thakur from Plus91 Asset Management. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. Most of my questions have been answered. If you could just help me out with the understanding of the iron ore cost and previous participants also have asked, but by when do you expect to get the approval for the expansion to get for the dumping area?
As we mentioned earlier, we are very hopeful we should get the pending approvals by end of Q2, and from Q3 onwards, you can see improvement in mining production and eventually full rated capacity from FY28. That's what we envisage.
And sir, what's the update on BESS?
The project is very much on track. The groundwork has started. Everything has been placed. The machine delivery will start happening from December, and we expect to roll out the first container in Q1 of FY28. So the BESS project is very much on track.
Okay, sir. And sir, coming to the realizations of iron ore and pellet, they had seen a good peak in Q4 and start of Q1 as well. But I think in Q2, they have been a little softer, as you had mentioned as well. But do you think they will have a little bit more, little bit of lower realization going forward?
No. So if you ask on the longer term, we still feel the iron ore prices will hover around between 9,000-10,000 rupees in the longer term, 9,000 being the lower side and 10,000 being on the higher side. And this year, we see last 5 months, the average pricing and our selling price also remains at our 10,000 levels. Plus, it's a commodity, and it's a cyclic business. So ups and downs will keep happening depending on the market here. We don't see major change in iron ore pellets in the longer term.
And sir, you had also mentioned regarding that you were exploring exports as an option for your BESS to if domestic market.
We did export to two vessels in July, in June and July, and then we had to stop exports because of shutting off one of the pellet plants. So export opportunity is always there. Depending on the domestic demand and pricing, we are always open for exports.
What is the realization you got in June for exports?
It was slightly, I could say, almost at par with the domestic market, which was about 9,000 rupees ex-plant. When the market in the domestic was 9,000 rupees in June and July.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kartik Gada from Multiple Wealth Management. Please proceed.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Sorry if this is getting repeated. I was able to join only a little late. Just wanted to understand, during the quarter, we sold down our stake in Jammu Pigments, which we had invested in a couple of years ago. So just wanted to understand the thought process, what changed, what led to this decision?
Hello.
Dinesh.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jammu Pigments, we have not sold much. We have sold, I think, about stocks worth about 25 crores. We are still thinking on the strategy on Jammu Pigments. In fact, we had a time either to increase our stake or exit or whatever you do. We have not yet fully decided on that. But the promoters, other family members, like their daughter and son-in-law, have also joined the business. Earlier, the statement was that they don't have any succession planning and therefore planning to exit. And then we also have a lot of other things coming up in Chhattisgarh and now in Maharashtra, CRM, other things. And operationally, that location is becoming slightly difficult for us in Jammu and Kota. We are in process of taking a call. We have partially sold stake to the promoters, and if they desire and if they want, then we can even offload some more quantities going forward.
Okay. So any expected timelines, or it will be as
No, timelines are there on this. We are still in discussion as to how to go forward on this.
Understood. Yeah, that's it from my end. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Kothari from Aequitas Investments. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking me back. Sir, I think last con call, you had spoken about Boria Tibu, the TOFR that we were going to file in quarter one of this year. So, just wanted to know what's the update on that filing?
So see, Boria Tibu expansion plans are very much on track. We have started preparing the documents. We will be putting up a beneficiation plant inside the mines as well, for which the trials are under process. And once everything is finalized, we will be filing the TO for Boria Tibu, and we expect Boria Tibu expansion to happen somewhere in probably April 30, FY31. That is the plan. The current mining capacity is 0.7 million. From next year onwards, Boria Tibu will be running at full capacity of 0.7 million. Currently, it's running at about 0.2, 0.3 million. And eventually, by FY31, we will be taking the mining capacity from 0.7 to 4 million tons.
Got it. Got it. Perfect. And the beneficiation plant would also be 4 million tons then?
Yes. So 4 million mining, 4 million beneficiation. And since the mines are on the lower, the grade is on the lower side, we expect the output of close to about 1.5 to 2 million tons usable concentrate for the pellet feed.
1.5 to 2 million. Okay.
Yeah. And it can be about 40%. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The tail loss would be much higher in this.
Yes, because the grade is on the lower side. The average grade in the mines is somewhere about 45 to 50. So, of course, the tailing will be on the much higher side to maintain the output of the concentrate of 65 above.
Got it. And, sir, you gave a proper update on how our BESS is progressing in terms of supply arrangements, in terms of our domestic EMS also being finalized. Are we having any conversations or discussions around the commercial arrangements, about any customer discussions or how we're looking to progress around that?
See, we have already tied up with the domestic EMS. We already tied up to domestic PCS as per directive of the Government of India, where currently 20% of your entire system has to be from, made in India. So we already achieved that. And in terms of commercial sales, from August onwards, we have started quoting our containers in the market, and we'll start participating in tenders for future supplies.
Got it. So these will be the tenders where we'll be, participating is the
life. Exactly. So it will be mainly with a back-to-back guarantee to the developer who will be participating in tenders. So we'll be doing a back-to-back guarantee. If he wins the bid, so we'll be the supplier for that particular project. That is how we intend to, go ahead with the sales.
Got it. And just on the ferro galvanized products, I think we saw a decline also in galvanized products volumes for this quarter. Any particular reason why we saw a particular decline?
Usually, bringing a monsoon, the deliveries on the lower side, the projects get delayed. So that is why the galvanizing products you can see is on the lower side. Once the monsoons are over, you will see the volumes back in, at the desired level. It's just a seasonal effect, nothing else.
Got it. And sir, just my last question. I think you had explained it very well on last con call, the difference between a BF and a DR pellet. So since you had mentioned that we have already started exporting and the DR pellets, the gas-based, command a much higher premium, is it something that we will look at in the near term, or we'll be focusing only on the domestic market?
No, we very much have plans to enter the DR market, which is mainly the Middle East. But that can only happen once we are able to feed 100% from our mines, because they are very specific quality conscious. So once we're able to do that, we have plans to enter the DR market as well because of the higher premiums.
So once Arya Dongri will be running up with a beneficiation plant, we can then probably do the DR pellets?
No, I would say that will happen only once we're able to feed 100% of our pellet capacity from our mines. because then we can start playing with the quality of product. So that will happen in FY28 once we are able to achieve the 100% mining capacity.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Yes. Very much. Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir, for taking the question. And good luck, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Nidhi from Big Mint. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, sir, and many thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is, as your one of the pellet plant is on shutdown, should we expect any change to the company's FY27 pellet production guidance of 4.0 million ton?
Although we haven't devised, we're still evaluating, but you can expect the volumes to be slightly on the lower side. Once we have a full final guidance internally, we will inform all the investors. But you can expect a slightly lower guidance for the entire year since one of our pellet plants is already shut from last almost 45 days now.
Okay, so should it meet 4.0 million ton or it will be...
No, the production will be slightly on the lower side. But with the exact guidance, we will come back in some time.
Okay.
Once we have a full clarity, yeah.
Okay, okay. So my second question is, how do you see the pellet market outlook for this fiscal in terms of demand, pricing and margins, particularly with rising domestic supply and subdued export demand?
See, the prices did touch, lowest two months back, but with the steel demand going up slightly, the prices have again gone up at 10%. But still feel in the longer term, the prices will keep hovering between 9,000 to 10,000 rupees, ex-rice port.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. To ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is on the line of Rohan Mehta from Start Easy. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
So, couple of questions. First, our cost of materials have just gone up by 40%. As I understand, we procure the materials one quarter back. So, let's say we might have procured our material in about February or March, when the West Asia wasn't as impactful. So can you just segregate this cost for me?
See, on the total iron ore, total raw material cost, which is mainly for us iron ore and the imported coal. So domestic coal was largely stable. So iron ore contributes about 75% of the increased cost and 25% was the imported coal. Just to be very specific in terms of number, our imported coal cost was about 10,500 rupees for Q4 and early Q1. Now it's almost touched 13,000 rupees. So straight away, 25% impact because of the West Asia crisis. And 75% is mainly account of iron ore for purchasing from the market compared to our own mines material.
So that will be much more impactful in the quarter two because just you said the imported coal cost has gone up much more.
Yes, Q2 will continue to remain on the higher side because the prices still have not reduced compared to Q4 levels. Dollar was there, the shipping freight is still on the higher side. The index is slightly lower because of the current crisis, but still on the higher side.
Okay. And on the natural gas side, sir, when do we expect some sort of normalcy? Is there some timeline where this force majeure will just expire and we may get it at the...
No clarity, to be honest. We have been in touch with our supplier, Gail, but he has no guidelines. It's everyday situation, how the war unfolds every day. So, things are very irrational right now. So, we just hope for the best, yeah.
Absolutely. And at what pellet prices does it make sense to produce at these gas prices?
See, at these levels, we are evaluating our operation for the third plant. We are also talking to the suppliers if we are able to secure the required quantity of volume to run the pellet plant. If we do so, we will definitely come back and announce it to the investors. But at the moment, it is under shutdown and we feel August will also be a shutdown period. September, there might be a possibility that we can start the third operation for the third plant.
Okay. And just the last question. So at current capacity expansions, we won't be needing any debt, right? If the steel plant doesn't come into the picture.
See, to be honest, as we clearly said, the steel plant is put on hold.
We have no clarity. If you see the steel plant requirement of funds, we were taking almost a huge debt, you know, to fund the steel plant. Since it's on hold now, so we don't need to borrow any money for funding our current projects. We are very much, you know, we have sufficient free cash flows to fund the entire projects now.
Perfect. Thank you so much, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Suti Agarwal from Chhattisgarh Investments. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to know, was there a revision in the budgeted capex for the CRM rolling, for the CRM project?
Yeah, so earlier the capex in Nishad was about, I think, 993 crores. Now it's about 1100 crores. It's mainly on account of, you know, the one-time cost will be incurring on account of the land in Maharashtra and other basic infrastructure. Earlier, the entire complex was coming up in Chhattisgarh with a steel plant. So a lot of common infrastructure cost was getting absorbed. Since now CRM will be independent, so it's a one-time cost will be which they have to incur to, you know, start the plant, which is the land, the infrastructure, the transmission lines and other things. So that is why the capex is above almost about 15-20% compared to the previous capex announcement of 950 crores.
Okay,
sir.
All right.
Capital margin. So the entirely 200 crore is not by increase of capex. From working capital margin money is also included in 1100 crores. So actually, increase will be much lower.
And sir, what will be the land cost estimated, land cost for the Maharashtra land?
Closer
to
45-50
crores.
Okay.
Land cost is about 50 crores, yeah. And the land parcel is about 35 acres.
Okay. And also expected commissioning date will be?
December 27, which is Q3 of FY28.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Mithin Shah, an investor. Please proceed.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, my question is regarding the cash utilization. We already have some healthy cash on books, and we would be, for a steady state pellet price, we would be making something more than 1,200 crores every year. And now that steel plant is shelved, so what are your plans with regards to utilization of the cash?
We will come back. Let this capex be over, the CRM and you know, base project, and let have the full clarity on integrated steel plant, and then we'll come out with the, you know, plan for the case.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Manav Gogia from Yes Securities Limited. Please proceed.
Yes. So just one question I had on, you know, capex. How should we now take a look at FY27 and 28, because now the steel capex is no longer part of it?
You know, we have given numbers in our presentation. We have given the numbers.
So only those numbers.
FY27, 28, how much will be the capex?
Okay. Got it. And in terms of pricing for Q2, pricing, in terms of pellet production, should we assume the 675-1800, or would that be the right way to look at it?
Come again, please.
So for pellet production in during Q2 of FY27, should we assume 650 to 700 KT/100 for this particular quarter in terms of pellet production?
No. So if we happen to keep the plant shut for the entire quarter, the numbers will be on the lower side. Okay. So at the moment, you talk about somewhere about 500 KT.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinit Thakur from Plus 91 Asset Management. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Just one this question. Since you said we will be funding all of our capex going forward through internal accruals, What will be our new CapEx for next 3 years, excluding the plan, if ISP is not in the medium-term growth?
See, for the CRM, we have invested a CapEx of 1,100 crores, out of which about 80 crores have already been spent. So about 1,000 crores on the CRM side. On the battery storage side, we have already spent about close to 500 crores. The remaining CapEx of close to 700-800 crores will be spent in this year and next year. Plus, on the remaining CapEx, which overall we invested a CapEx of close to about 2,000 crores for remaining FY27 and entire FY28.
So, for in 27, you're saying 2,000 crores, so 2,100 crores, and 28, you're saying 2,000 crores. And 29...
No, the numbers are given in presentation. How much will be in which year? You can refer to presentation. Shall I tell you the presentation
number? No, sir. I do have it, but it's only till 28. I wanted till 29. If you have any projection till 29.
No.
29, there is no projection as of now.
No projection. Okay.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us on this call. We hope that we have been able to address all your questions. Should you have any more questions or require any clarification, please get in touch with our investor relation team at Go India Advisors. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And with this, we conclude this call.
On behalf of Godavari Power and Ispat Limited, that concludes this call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.